This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs live here.
Welcome back to Scotiabank Arena. 5-1, the final score for the Montreal Canadiens over the Leafs, and it was apparent early that the Leafs were going to have some problems in this game, and the Habs, give them credit, they emptied the tank. They never slowed down at all. They were relentless, weren't they, Greg?
Oh, they played a full 60-minute up-tempo game, and like I said, in between the second and third period, Jim, there, you know, the pace that they were playing at, the pressure they were putting on the Leafs' defense just by closing ice quick, taking away time and space. They had good sticks. I mean, they created a lot of turnovers tonight, and not so much direct things, but force bad decisions, bad time, and, you know, they capitalized on their opportunities for sure.
Postgame Roundtable is brought to you by Subaru. Right now is the perfect time to fall for a Subaru. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer for great rates from 0.5%. That'll mean that Ralphie is here. Ralphie, your thoughts on what you saw.
I don't think you put a whole lot of stock into anything we've seen. I think, and speaking to Joe Bowen about this at the start of the game, I think for Garrett Sparks, this is a tougher game to play. I think when it's NHL players in front of you, everything's done more quickly, a lot of scrambly stuff. It's sometimes tougher when you go from the best to playing games that are more scrambly, and that's what it was. It wasn't like they were clean two-on-ones that were beating them. There were redirections in front. There were screens. There were giveaways. One that was his giveaway. But you could just see that it was more of a struggle. It was laboring through it because nothing was clean. So I know that sounds like I'm making an excuse for a goaltender, but it can be so much easier when you know you're playing with NHL defensemen. The guy's going to be here, and you know exactly where you're going to go. And Gibby, don't ask me why I know that.
You saw me chuckling over here, did you?
Yes.
Yeah, no excuses for the goaltender whatsoever.
But I found when I get sent down from an NHL camp and now you're playing in the American League, the play was slower, and it was actually harder. Guys had more time to hold on to the puck and make the little drag moves, and then it got scrambly. Where I'm making an excuse, but I believe that as well. I think it's tougher. And Anthony Emme, I thought, scrambled just as much as Garrett Sparks, but they were going off the goalpost, rolling to the goal line, through the crease, out the other way. And it was just one of those nights that wasn't meant to be from a Toronto standpoint.
Well, we were joking before the game about that line about we couldn't hit him. But for Niemi, they could hit him, and they hit him with regularity, didn't they?
Yeah, and if you look at his numbers in Montreal, I mean, he struggled at the start of the season and was bouncing around. Where was it? Tampa and I'm trying to think before. Played two other teams before he got to Montreal. Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And had some tough, tough moments. And he went to Montreal. You look at his numbers, even the win-loss. It was pretty respectable for Antti Niemi, but as I was saying to Gibby in the commercial break before we came back on, usually when goaltenders get older, they move less. You know, it's the Pierre Maguire economy of movement, and guys seem to reduce their... He seems like he's gone the opposite. I don't remember him playing that way in Chicago or San Jose where it was full scramble mode a lot, but bottom line is if it works, go ahead.
Ralph, did you notice tonight, I found in spots where, you know, the play, I don't want to say it was scrambly, but, you know, getting to the point that you were talking about earlier, as a goaltender, I know you don't want this to happen, but it almost looked at points in the game where Garrett Sparks was almost guessing to where the shot was going to come from. Because, I mean, Montreal was putting things from the corners to the side of the net and, you know, like making their little plays out front. And it looked at times he was like, I don't want to say scrambled, but
when you're in sync with the game, you react.
Yeah,
and you trust your reaction to it. When there's sometimes that now little delay, guy's coming down, he's got it in the circle, there's that delay, and there's not much pressure. Now what I do, even the goal in the second period where Borgman missed the hit, was that Hudon's goal?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, though, even in practice, those are hard because the guy sort of loses control of it. You don't know where he's going to really. Is he just going to try to get to the net? Is he going to try to hold on and make a move? And again, I know that's building the excuses, but it's scrambly. And now you start to second guess. Now you sort of stutter step. Is he going to shoot now? Is the play coming now? Or do I retreat? And you're right. You get to the point where I think you start to guess a little bit because now everything's not quick and in sync, and you feel like your headspace and yourself physically is just not in tune with the rest of the game. And that's a hard way to spend 7 years, oh. which is what I did.
It only seemed like 10. let me ask you this, because Sparks played in this game based on who was in front of him. I mean, is that sort of outline a pecking order or
I don't know. I honestly believe a decision was made probably prior to training camp, maybe sometime during the summer, as to who was going to be the backup goaltender. And I can see incredible arguments on both sides. No matter what happens, I don't think I could say I disagree with that move, whether it's right. Sparks or whether it's McElhinney, because both, from Garrett Sparks' point of view, 3 years ago he gets an opportunity with the Leafs during some tough times, a shutout in his first ever NHL game, played 17 games that year, hasn't come back since. So what do you want him to do? Go down to the American League and be a dominant player, and he has, and he wins you a championship. So now I think you're getting to the point in his career, if not in Toronto, where? You need that. I believe he's earned the opportunity to find out. I'm not saying he's earned the opportunity to be a number one guy, but he's earned the opportunity to find out if he can be a regular in the National Hockey League. Curtis McElhinney, I think, was probably as good as any backup goaltender last year in the league. I mean, the three shutouts of goals against was just, 2.14? Wow. And where I think McElhinney's got the advantage is he's filled this role. Garrett Sparks has been great as a number one in the American League. Can you play 20 games here and be as effective? Play every 2 weeks. Play the second of back-to-backs where it's a little harder. And it's that's where I think Curtis McElhinney has the advantage. And it has nothing to do with this game. It has nothing to do with training camp or what Garrett Sparks has done. Just the fact that you feel you know what you've got in McElhinney as far as providing quality goaltending in this role.
Well, the Leafs have the luxury of being at the point in the NHL where you can have the Garrett Sparks story or a forward or a defenseman who's done exactly what you've asked him to do in the farm team. But guess what? There's no job in the NHL for them on this team.
Yeah, and yet, you know, there's still that wiggle room for guys to move up. And I thought the Tampa Bay Lightning were the perfect example, starting with John Cooper and the Miners, of that group of guys coming up. I think Palat, Tyler Johnson, they had a strong group of guys with success in the American Hockey League that all came up together. So I think you do look at that to a certain extent where you say, guys are going to reward, you know, whether it's Kapan or Janssen, you know, guys that have performed well in the American Hockey League. I think it's important for the morale of the organization for guys to look and say, hey, it does matter.
Yeah.
We do something here. We're committed. We have success. It does matter. We're not going to be gone, and they're going to trade for somebody from or pick up somebody on waivers to replace us. So not that that's the way you sit down and try to build your hockey team, but I think not being a smartass, being in the minors for a good chunk of my life, that was important to see guys get rewarded from the American League team to go up and get their chance.
Yeah, no, Ralphie, when you look at this game tonight, and you know, as I said, the phrase I used was, this is going to be the last dance for some of these guys.
Yes.
There's no question. Was there anybody out there tonight? I've got a couple names in mind that maybe took a step backwards tonight and kind of, I don't want to say fell down the chain, a bit, but the performance tonight from some of the guys thought were really good in camp weren't very good tonight.
And yet you wonder, you know, if, like we said at the start of training camp, they said this is going to game. This is sort of as we go from the first four to the last four.
Yeah.
This, because of the gap in between games, this is where some guys are going to get their one shot. I don't want to call it a courtesy game, but we figure you've earned the right for one preseason game. So this is it. There just seems to be too much of a setup for the lineup. No, this wasn't accidental. I don't think this was decided on Sunday that this was going to be the lineup. I think they've carefully put it out. I think they want to see if, for no other reason, the power play working together, having Matthews and Tavares on the ice at the same time. So I think a lot of factors went into this lineup. But you're right. There are probably some guys that – he said, wait a minute, you're not playing against a lot of NHL players, and you still struggled a little bit. I thought Borgman was a guy that had some struggles tonight. And sometimes that comes through trying to do too much, thinking, okay, here's the landscape. This is who Montreal's got, who we've got. I'm going to try to play outside my game and become noticeable, and then it backfires.
It's almost, you know, it's almost the same analysis we would apply to Sparks, though. I mean, the blue line, I thought, struggled big time. But, you know, the forwards work in concert with the blue line, and it's not the regular complement. I mean, it's tough.
There's a disconnect there. These guys, this is the first time they've put on sweaters together. The timing's not there. You know, the separation in skill level and experience on the lineup they had tonight is much different. The one thing I noticed, it's big for me as a coach, it was big for me as a player, but as a coach, the one thing I really notice is when a team is sharp and they're confident, there's a lot of communication out there.
Yeah.
And I hardly heard a peep tonight.
Well, I think that's because they're mostly looking around saying, I hope we're not playing together at the start of the season. I said the great thing about getting sent down to the minors is once you get sent down, you find out that 20 other guys thought they got screwed, too.
Yeah.
Real, I don't even remember you and Cap. But everybody wants their opportunity, and for some this was going to be it. But what I said to Joe, which was kind of interesting as camp went on, you had the back-to-back games against Ottawa that they were a little bit sloppy, not a lot of hitting, not a lot of crispness. You saw Tavares show off his skill at points and Austin Matthews as well. But not a lot of flow, and then you hit the Buffalo games, and you thought, wow, this is a step up. Now you're seeing, and talking to somebody in Buffalo, they said Buffalo's having a tough time with Toronto speed. That was the game in Buffalo when they had the better lineup. So then you're starting to see this build where guys are getting, and then this sort of chunks you right back to early on in training camp where, and I guess in fairness, like you said, Gibby, there's not a lot of familiarity.
Yeah,
it's almost like day one of inter-squad games at training camp. So it you did sort of feel that. And I'm sure somehow you're asking me, what does this game mean for the players that are playing in this game and why they're playing in this game? I don't doubt to some extent, and it's not an excuse for anybody, there's that same feeling for the players saying, what does this mean? You know, for players like you said, Jim, are they on the cusp? You know, is this a make-or-break game for them? So it'll be interesting to see going forward. But I know one thing. This was probably thought of before training camp started, that there was going to be a certain group play in this game.
Sure.
And then three left. They're still going to have a pretty good complement of players for the Friday, Saturday Detroit, as always.
Yeah. But I mean, the goal is to get ready for opening night. And when you look at it, game 5 of 8 is the flex point, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I think there'll be some announcements tomorrow. But they're still probably going to have to, 32 guys?
I think 32, at least.
Yeah.
At least.
What did we solve?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Not much.
Okay.
No. And then again, you wonder how many guys can actually play themselves in or off.
Yeah.
Well,
of the roster coming in.
But then you go back to the original premise. I mean, what was the fight about? Was it about the fourth line center, the 6 and 7 defensemen, and possibly a backup goaltender? There wasn't much at stake anyway.
No, and I think those things have to be sorted out in the last three games against better NHL rosters. And as we said, you know, the longer you get into camp, the more you get a pretty good look. But then you go to last year. Was it Eric Fehr and Dominic Moore were the fourth line centers?
Yeah.
Rotated in and out. Fehr falls out of favor with the Leafs and finds himself in California by the time it's done. So you might see that where you might have a couple of guys, fourth line guys, maybe even wingers, find themselves in and out of the lineup until Mike Babcock finds a guy that he's comfortable with.
Well, and that's true. Go back a year ago, and we were all talking up Altonen as the possible fourth-line guy, never happened either.
No, and Lindholm is probably in that position this year.
Yeah.
Where you think, you know, an older guy, he's got an opportunity to maybe steal the position, but it'll be interesting to see where they go with it.
You still have to give, as we said off the top, the Habs credit for giving a pretty good effort here. I mean, they were relentless.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny how most games, except for the game in Buffalo, the visiting team, because they travel the day of the game, this is not your normal get in the night before morning skate, have your pregame meal, pregame nap if you want, and come to the rink. It's a little different when you're getting on a plane about 1 o'clock, coming right to the rink and playing. You know, most guys haven't done that since minor hockey, even the American League. You know, you have a little more of a routine. This is a little tougher, and Montreal struggled early, but came back.
Let's go downstairs. Here's Coach Babcock.
The part that's missed for the individuals is you had an opportunity to be important tonight, and it didn't go for you. So makes it hard for sure. So it was a tough night to evaluate players. No one really got themselves in a better spot than they started. And I don't think that helps the guys in any way.
Coach, I got emails from fans that were quite upset that they paid top dollar for an exhibition game hoping to see an NHL roster and saw
right.
something last
year. Well, what do we do about that? Like, exhibition's what it is. We got to play our NHL guys together. I think they want our team to be ready, right? So that's what I would say. I apologize for that, but we play 8 exhibition games, and we got to have our team ready. We're going to have 2 NHL games here coming up, and we're going to do the best we can that way. Montreal might be kind enough next year to let us have the game in our building. So we played the game in Detroit last year. They're playing the game in our building on Friday.
The difference is that this was one of the designated season ticket holder games that they had to buy, as okay. opposed to the other preseason game where you played a more representative roster that they didn't have to buy. Paying good dollars looking at it and saying you got cheated.
I don't know what to say. You have to talk to someone else in the organization about that. I'm getting the team ready and doing what I can to pick the team, and I'm not spending 1 second on this.
When you do the home and home, you know, Montreal and Detroit, and you talk to Claude and the Blashill about, right, that's what you're trying to
do. They want the same thing. They want an NHL game. If you go there and you have an NHL roster and you look at the roster and they don't, what do you think happens to the game? Zero, nothing. You get nothing out of the game. So I get the fans in the short term. You know what the fans want us to do? Okay.
The games have scrambled at this coach. How much use is there in assessing the type of net mining that you got?
Well, I mean,
it's tough, right?
Yeah, but you get paid to stop the puck too, right? So.
Will waiver status come into play when you're making a decision on the goalie?
Well, I think everything comes into play when you're making decisions on your players. And, you know, the beauty about it is time's on our side. We don't have to make one decision right now, so we're not going to make any. We're just going to keep watching. Tonight was an opportunity to come here tonight. What I wanted to see, I didn't see any of it. You're hoping someone grabs hold of something and just makes it so obvious you don't have any decisions to make. That's what's supposed to happen, is no decisions have to be made. Tonight's just, I mean, you guys were at the game. You never saw nothing. It was nothing. Puck just went in the net. The game was over. Thanks, guys.
That is Coach Mike Babcock after the game. And, Gibby, just before we break, he mapped it out. He pretty well agreed with everything we had said so far.
There's no question about it, and especially that last comment, is you as a coach, and we've been talking about this since preseason started, is you want to see the cream rise to the top. You want to see somebody take a chokehold on that opportunity for a position that's available, and he hasn't seen it yet. So, you know what? That's like he said, we're going to keep evaluating for these last 3 games and last 5 days, and then all the decisions will be made, because come our last exhibition game against Detroit in Detroit, we're going to go into the next week preparing for game 1 with our hockey club.
That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
The marketing and all that other stuff comes under another file folder. It's somebody else's business.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you try to make everybody happy, and ultimately, as hard as you try, you never make enough people happy. So it's an unfortunate situation tonight that I didn't realize that this is one of the games
that
the season ticket holders had to buy. But it's preseason hockey. It's an opportunity to see who, you know, some young guys are going to be playing down in the minors. And, it's like I said, it's preseason. So if they put the full lineup in and then they you know, Montreal comes in with a Laval Rocket squad, pretty much like they had tonight, are the fans going to be happy because the Leafs slaughter them and beat an American Hockey League team? Like, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. It's just part of the process, and you have to deal with it and accept it.
Garrett Sparks was sort of on a spot tonight, and we'll deal with him when we come back. He has some post-game comments. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, TSN 1150 Hamilton, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network. Welcome back to the Scotiabank Arena, where the Leafs have dropped a 5-1 decision to the visiting Montreal Canadiens and onto our network operators. The outtime tonight is exactly 10:36. Garrett Sparks on the spot tonight because of who played in front of him, and it got a little sloppy. He was beat five times, so he made 31 of 36 saves. And here he is talking about the tough game after it's over.
Yeah, I would say this is definitely one of the more physical games I've had to play as a goalie. I mean, they were on top of me all night, but that's something that I got to learn how to deal with at this level and be good at. They had a lot of good traffic. Joel Armia and Michael Chaput were, you know, top of the crease all night, so they made it hard on me. But just a couple tough bounces, and, you know, I just tried to hang in there and keep competing and keep battling and, you know, show that I wasn't going to get walked over by anybody. I was going to make some saves and do everything that I could with my opportunity out there.
Glad to get the chance to finish based on what happened in the second period.
100%. Nobody wants to get pulled. And, you know, the guy that's looking to get pulled isn't the guy that you want on your team. You want the guy that's going to go out there for the third period and, you know, do everything that you can, even when things don't look too hot. So, I thought I had a good third period, and I'm just going to take that and go from there.
Was that the plan, to play the full game?
Yeah, it was. I got informed of that this morning, and I was really excited for the opportunity. And obviously it didn't go the way that I wanted it to, but like I said, when you get a full 60 minutes to be in net, you got to play for the full 60, and you got to give everything that you have for the entire time, you know, no matter if pucks are bouncing on you the wrong way that day or, you know, you turn one over or whatever, like, you just got to be there and do everything you can to make the next save.
What's the biggest challenge when the physicality is ratcheted up for a goalie?
Well, I just, you know, they've instituted this goalie interference rule, and, you know, obviously they review the second one. I felt like there was a little bit of contact. I know it wasn't anything severe, and, you know, I still have to make that save, but anytime my foot's getting pushed backwards and I'm getting spun a little bit, that makes making saves a little more difficult. So, you know, I've done a lot of work to get lighter. Maybe I need to get a little bit stronger and clear some space out for myself, play a little more aggressive, and realize that the physicality of the game is something that I'm going to have to deal with at this level.
As far as your mindset right now, obviously battling for a job, coming off a great season in the last two performances haven't necessarily gone the way you hoped.
It's preseason hockey. I'm trying to get my game back. You know, obviously the third period is, like I said, inspiring for me, and I'm going to show up at the rink tomorrow. I'll be the first one there, and I'll get back to work.
That is Garrett Sparks after the 5-1 loss. And as I said to you during the course of the game, what people forget about is the injury issue. And he made at least three saves where I thought, whoa, let's be okay with the groin there. I mean, he was put in a position of having to make some saves that you probably don't want to have to make.
Well, and you know what? Garrett Sparks isn't a scrambling goaltender. He's a pretty efficient, pretty in control type of goaltender. He doesn't like to dive all over the place. But, you know, the club that was playing in front of him tonight exposed him to some pretty tough situations. And like you said, Jim, you're bang on. There was three that we can think of, and there was probably more, where he had to do the complete butterfly, legs straight out both sides to stop grade A opportunities on turnovers or good plays by Montreal, and he made the saves. But, you know, you can't expose a guy like that period after period to those situations, because injuries will happen. But, you know, these goaltenders now are in such great shape and so flexible that, you know, that's something that I don't want to say rarely happens, but it takes a lot for it to happen.
By the way, if you want to listen to the entire post-game show that you have just listened to, you can go to the Twitter account at TSN 1050 Radio and relive the whole experience. We'll be with you again on Wednesday night as the Leafs go to Montreal to take on the Habs live from the Bell Center. Thanks for joining us on Leafs Game Night. TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, TSN 1150 Hamilton, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.